Good morning. And Michael, thank you for that wonderful testimony. Fits right in with everything we're doing, and I just sense the Holy Spirit working real strongly right now in hearts and lives as we start this time during December talking about hope. You know, we have hope in Christ. Without Christ, it's hopeless. Everything's hopeless. And the world goes by the idea that they can do it on their own. But that's wrong. We have to have Christ. We can't be independent from Him. We have to let Him have control. You know, in the Gospels, as we approach the Gospels, we need to realize that there were 400 years of silence from Malachi's prophecy until the coming of Christ in Bethlehem. 400 years of silence, meaning I believe God spoke to people individually during that time, but as far as a real word from God, a prophecy from God that would be given to the people, it was absent. And during that time, Israel went through some very trying days, and their situation appeared to be hopeless. The Gentile world was just in darkness. The Gentile world did not have a place to hear from God necessarily, unless it was through some faithful Jew who loved Jehovah God, and they would proselyte a Gentile in that way. A lot of things happened in 400 years. Imagine that. I've been alive 66 years. I can't imagine going 400 years without a true message from God. It was this scene that was unfolding as we come to the Gospels. And today we're going to look in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had a hopeless situation. They had a situation that they could not solve. They had a problem, and they couldn't find an answer or a remedy to that problem. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. In Luke chapter 1, starting verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abiha. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot failed to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The right side is significant because that's considered where God was. That was his side. That's where the angel of the Lord stood. Verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the word. Now bless it to our hearts, and let it come to our ears and our understanding, and let it deposit in our hearts that we may apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. First of all, in verses 5 to 7, the first point in your notes, we see the circumstances of the story. The circumstances introduce these two people, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And I just want to point out, it says they were righteous before God. Here were Old Testament believers who loved God and worshiped God, looked to God. They went to the temple. They did the services that were to be done. They observed the holy days. They did it all. But another thing about their circumstances is that they're well past childbearing age. They're old. The womb can no longer support an embryo where a baby can grow. It's just that simple. It's a matter of aging and biology. But that didn't change the fact that Elizabeth felt like she was a second-class citizen. She had no child. Most of the other women around her had children. And she so much wanted children. She so much wanted a family. So that's the circumstances. In verses 8 to 17, the conversation that occurred with Gabriel. We see in verses 8 and 9, Zechariah is a priest. And at this point of the story, his turn comes up to burn incense. Now, this was a very timely thing. It was a very special thing for this family and for this man. The Jews tell us that there were three priests employed about the service of the incense. One who carried away the ashes left on the altar from the preceding service. Another who brought a pan of burning coals from the altar of service and, having placed it on the golden altar, departed. A third priest who went in with the incense, sprinkled it on the burning coals, and while the smoke ascended, made intercession for the people. This was the part that fell to Zechariah, and it was the most honorable part of the whole service. You have to ask yourself, how special was this? Well, it was a very good possibility that a priest would only have this experience maybe only one time in his life. Sometimes more, but a lot of times just one time. And here we see they have such a great need, and at the time of their great need, such an honor is bestowed upon Zechariah. You know, God is good. You know, even when we're in our valleys, even when we're going through hard times, God will bless us. Amen. He'll bless us. And those blessings are so welcome during those valleys. The time spent in the valley and the blessings come. And we need that so greatly. And we see that he comes in and the incense is used. The twofold purpose of the incense was, one, for thanksgiving, to thank God for his care and his provision for Israel and all the people who were coming to worship. Although they could not approach God directly, that priest was going in their stead and offering the incense. And the first thing it was for was to thank God. We need to have a thankful heart. When you're going through hard times, when you think things are hopeless, have a thankful heart anyway. Have a thankful heart. The second thing that would happen with the incense was to give petitions, to pray, to thank God and to pray. And that's what this priest was doing. He had all the prayers of the people and he was offering those. And it was represented through the incense going up to God. In verse 10, it says the people were just outside praying. I want to tell you, nothing big ever happens with God's people unless God's people are praying. Did you get that? Nothing very great happens with God's people unless God's people are praying. We need to be praying. And these people were praying. As I pointed out in verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared. He was on the right side, and that was the place reserved for God. All these little nuances of verses, when it gives you this information, there's a reason those words are there. It's to give you information. God was there. God was with them. That's something else that needs to happen when we pray. When we pray, God is going to be here. God is going to be with us. And if we're going through a hopeless situation, you may be going through the hopeless situation, but God can be with you. And Zechariah's life is showing us this. In verse 12, notice what it says. And when Zechariah saw him, that was the angel of the Lord, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Zechariah was a man. He was simply a man. And here he sees the angel of the Lord in his glory, and fear comes across. And you'd have to say part of that, he was humbled. He realized he was in the presence of God. And he had such reverence. Fear comes to the place to where it's reverential awe. It's where you can't speak. You don't know what to do when you're in God's presence in that way. Have you ever been in a church service where God just really showed up and you didn't know what to do? You couldn't sing. You couldn't do hardly anything. But God showed up. You knew God's power was falling. People were getting saved. Individuals who needed to reconcile with others were doing just that. Folks, God's power can fall among us, especially during the times we think are hopeless. In verses 13 to 17, the angel says, "Fear not." What a wonderful word of consolation here. He says, you're going to have a child. And his name's going to be John. Now, the name John in the Hebrew means Yahweh is gracious. God is gracious. Amen. He's full of grace. He bestows his grace upon us every day. Going through a hopeless situation in your life, God's grace is still there. I believe God's grace is more there than ever before when you're going through that valley. God's grace just saturates our being, saturates our life, just covers us like a shield. He says in verse 13, the last part, he says, your prayer has been heard. You ever get those messages from God? You're praying, you're praying, you're praying. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. And then one day God just gives you that peace and says, I've heard your prayer. Just wait on me. I've heard your prayer. There's prayers that I'm praying for about this church. Things that I'd like to see God do in and through this church. And you know, I'm about to the place where God has said, I've heard your prayer. Just be patient. Just be patient. I'm working. I'm working through these things. Whenever we have a need, we just take it to God. What is the result of all that? Verses 14 to 17, great joy. Those three verses, basically, great joy. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have the joy of God. You know, at times we may not have enough money in the bank. At other times we may be physically ill. And like a lot of people in our church, myself included, have had something to hit us and makes us sound like a frog. That kind of stuff. Shannon's had the flu this week, and there he is. He's in church helping us. I just hope he's not contagious now. But many, many, many people in our church are sick. Many of our senior adults are sick. But you know what? In that, we can have joy. We can have joy. In Philippians 4, 18 to 20, Paul said, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This was the kind of prayer that Elizabeth could pray. This was the kind of prayer that anyone can pray when God has answered prayer. That last part, now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. We are to simply give him the glory. When he does good things in our life, give him the glory. When he pulls us through a hopeless situation and shows us his hope, we give him the glory. We worship him. We praise him. And he blesses us. The culmination of all these things, verses 18 to 25. Well, first of all, in verse 18, we see the lack of faith that Zechariah has. He said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. See, he was looking at the practical side of things. He was looking at conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom said that he and Elizabeth couldn't have a child. But God said different. God said, yeah, you're going to have a child. Then there's Gabriel's answer in verses 19 to 22. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you. Gabriel said, I'm here to bring you good news. It's the same idea as the good news of Christ that's going to be announced. This couple received their own message of good tidings, good news. How God's blessing was upon them. And then finally, and then next thing we see, verses 23 and 24, Elizabeth's conception. After Zechariah comes back from the temple, and he and Elizabeth conceive a child, and God miraculously blesses that. And she's carrying John the Baptist. That was an answer to prayer. And in return, the last two verses, Elizabeth gives a joyful confession. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Of all women, she was definitely blessed. When I think of times that Judy and I, during our married life, we've gone through hard times. It might be financial, it might be health. It seems like when we had our three children and they were all young, it seems like when one got sick, the other two got sick, and we had to take them all three to the doctor at the same time. And this was back in the mid to late 70s. And even then, to go down to Dr. Hamer's office, sit a half a day, it wasn't fast like it is today. You just had to sit there, and whenever your time came, they'd see you. It was 9 o'clock at night. That was okay. And then after he was done, they'd say $200. I'm telling you, every time you went, it was $200. That didn't count any medicine you had to go get at the drugstore. Hard times. But as you can see, we made it. We raised those three kids. They're healthy, strapping kids. And I look back on all that, and I think of the joy that we had in the good times as well as the bad times. And what we would do, we would just always go to God. God, we're here again. We're asking. We're praying. And he would say, okay. He would hear our prayer. Then finally, we would get some kind of encouragement and some kind of reassurance that he was going to work it out. And every time we had to go take those kids to the doctor, the $200 was there. Now, I really wasn't making a whole lot of money back then. Just miraculously, the money lasted. Folks, what is it in your life that you need to let God take hold of? Maybe it's something you've been carrying for a long time. God's calling you to surrender it today. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to enjoy the blessings of God that he has in store for you. A couple of things of application, because when we study Scripture, we need to be able to apply it. First of all, when all hope seems lost, we must wait on the Lord to answer our prayers. We need to wait on the Lord. Don't try to get ahead of him. You pray and you wait. You wait patiently with faith, expecting God to do something. Secondly, the Lord's plan for every believer's life is for him or her to be blessed. All we must do is look to Jesus. If we'll simply depend on Jesus, He will bless us. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we can earn. It's not some magic trick. No, it's simply looking to Jesus in faith, and He will bless. And finally, whatever problem one has in life, one must submit it to God completely and allow Him to work His power in your situation. That means, here's a hard word, that means surrender. That means relinquish control. Give God the control of your life. And as you give God the control of your life, He will bless. You can spread that out a little bit. Give God control of your life at work. Give God control of your life in your family. Give God the control in your life in your church, among your friends and relatives, relationships. Whatever it is, it applies. Any part of life, it applies. Today we're going to have a hymn invitation. And during this Christmas season, all the pretty lights, all the joyful gatherings, they all have great meaning because they're supposed to be celebrating the first advent of Jesus Christ, the first coming of our Lord and Savior. During His first coming, He had an earthly ministry. He went to a cross. He died on that cross to shed His blood so that we could be forgiven from sin. Since He died on the cross and 3 days later arose from the dead, now we can come boldly to God and say, Lord, I believe in You. I want to submit my life to You. Save my soul. Forgive me of my sin. And I'll live with You forever. If you're a non-believer today, you could come today and receive Christ. And in receiving Christ, you'll receive hope. If you're a believer and you're kind of walking away from God a little bit and you've kind of taken your life back over, you need to give God control all over again. Surrender it all to Him. And He'll bless you. In just a couple of moments, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to come. Come and pray. Pray for someone else that may need hope. Pray for someone else who may need to come to Christ, and you need to go out and talk to them this week and introduce Christ to them. Come and pray. The great movement of God's power is propelled by the prayers of God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I come to You thanking You for Your mercy and Your goodness. And I pray right now that as we prepare our hearts to come, that we will allow the Word of God to just have its place in our life. Lord, that we would understand what Your Word says as the Holy Spirit gives the interpretation. And Father, as individuals are here and they have needs, I pray that they would just bring those things to the altar today and release those things and give them to You. And Lord, may Your Spirit just work in a mighty way amongst us. May Your Spirit bring us peace and joy. May Your Spirit remind us that we are recipients of the grace of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sin. Thank You for providing John the Baptist, the trailblazer, the one who went before You and made Your path straight so that You could bring the news of the gospel to the world. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Come right now, would you? Transition team meeting today at 3 o'clock. Please try to be here. Try to be here a little early so we can get started on time, and we'll be able to get out early like we did the first time. And be praying for the meeting, all of you, between now and 3 o'clock. I'm gonna hand it over to our moderator.
All right, thank you, Pastor Donald.
Come on, number 7. There we go. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Pastor Donnie. Man, what an encouraging service. Amen? Wow. I don't know about you, but I needed that, and what a blessing. Just one housekeeping thing, as he said, you know, we've got some exciting things, some work to do as a church through the transition. And one thing we want to do is, and guys, so you know, behind the scenes, as you're talking, we're working, whether it be the stewardship ministry, deacon ministry, the pastors, we're all working. And as things kind of come up, we're going to address them. And that might mean we've got business meetings, you know, every few weeks for just little things. But one thing we want to do next week, I think you would agree, our pastors have done a great job. We've really taxed Donnie a lot more than he was hired to do. So one thing the stewardship committee has come to us and said, they are recommending that we increase Pastor Donnie's salary from the current $14,544 to $25,000. And that is coming with some consultation from the Union Baptist Association. And that would be retro to 10-1. So that is something that we are bringing on the stewardship's behalf. Next Sunday, we're going to take care of that business right after church so we can take care of Pastor Donnie and Judy for the work they're doing during this intentional interim process. So that's just an official notice to you guys. We're going to take care of that. They're also working with our other pastors, so there'll be more things coming as we go along, but we just wanted to get moving on that. Sound good? So we'll take care of that business next Sunday. And I know they flexed the Panthers game. I know it starts at 4:25, but today we've got more important business, right, as Pastor Donnie said, right at 3 o'clock, and then we'll get home and see the Panthers beat the Saints. Sound good? All right. Very good. Well, let's pray, and I close in prayer. And we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you so much for the hope you do give us in Christ. And I thank you that we get to celebrate that in your son's birth during the season. Thank you for the encouragement today and song and testimony and message. I pray that you would not make this just idle words or songs that we hear and feel good as we walk out, but this will be an encouragement to us as believers, and it will challenge us to share that hope in Christ we have with others, whether it's our friend, family, or someone we meet on the street. Just keep us safe and be with our time this afternoon, and we look forward to coming together in your name. Amen.